to make the excuse, I think, is CAD work better, but everybody knows that it's actually used for games. So that kind of finishes off my 2.4 list of new features expected in stores. Who knows? It's actually not up to me. What happens is that when I make a 2.4.0 release, all the vendors groan because they know that they'll have now to upgrade all their system. They've obviously been working at it before that, but now they have to validate the kernel I released, and it usually takes a few months after I release the kernel for it to actually hit the CDs. So it's probably going to be summertime by then. So I've stood on my soapbox. Now, anybody who has any good or bad questions, please see if there are mics around. There's supposed to be some, I hope. That's how we did this last time. And raise your hands. There are mics apparently on both sides. Maybe I just asked the right questions. Oh. Yes.
Hi, I'm Simon Applebaum, and I'm one of the senior editors with Cablevision magazine. For those who don't know, Cablevision is a trade magazine that covers the cable industry. Mm-hmm. And, and we're not affiliated with any cable operators, so cut the booze there. When you were at Fall Internet World last October, I asked you a not-so-softball question, which was about the possibility of Linux as a cable set-top operating system for set-top boxes, so that interactive television applications by Linux developers could go that set-top to the television set. Mm-hmm. And since your appearance, TiVo, which uses Linux, is now talking to cable operators about being in their set-tops.
Right.
At the Western Cable Show in December in Los Angeles, a company called Emperor System Solutions came out with a project called TV Linux Java, which is an operating system that works with Linux and Java. Mm-hmm. And in a story that we did on open source, a couple of companies we've talked to out of the Fall Internet World appearance have told us that they are negotiating with cable operators. So the issue is now, do you see now that possibility of cable being a major player for Linux?
I'm a strong believer in, I didn't used to be, but I'm now, in specialized applications. I think that what we've found is that computers are just too damn hard to use. And obviously, a lot of the current development in the kind of automation computer industry is actually going to be these specialized applications that do just one thing and don't even appear as a computer. And I think and believe that Linux is obviously going to be the perfect example of that. Just because of all the modularity issues, just because of the lack of control by one company or a few companies who want to have one specific direction and aren't that interested in others. I think that cable boxes is going to be one of them. I think Linux is going to be big. But hey, who am I to say? I don't actually... my crystal ball has been broken for the last 9 years because I certainly never saw Linux coming at all the way it did. I think that the issue really is here that you will find companies like TiVo that just enjoy having the possibility of making a Linux system for themselves. And cable is just one of the issues. There are all these internet gateways. There's what Transmeta believes in is the kind of web slate where it's not really a computer. Well, it is a computer, but it's a computer for a very specific reason because most people actually just want to browse the web when they buy a computer these days. And maybe they'd have a second computer as a traditional computer. So I think Linux fits in all of those spaces. I think the kind of open model is perfect for any specialized embedded device. And cable is just one.
Okay, nice. Thank you very much for that answer.
Somebody on the other side?
Hi, my name is Jeffrey Nuremberg. I am the product developer for LinuxSecurity.com. And we have a whole bunch of file servers right now running Linux. Mm-hmm. And looking forward to Linux, you know, really penetrating the enterprise market, one of the concerns that I often hear about is the lack of a UFS file system. I'm sorry, a journaling file system.
Oh.
And I know there's a number of projects right now in development, and there's a number of different standards. And where do you see that going? And how does that relate to the whole issue of fragmentation?
Oh, the wonderful world of standards. Yes, there's so many to choose from. I think this is a perfect example of just people will have to battle it out. Right now, there are two journals. I mean, this question used to come up a lot, and I always used to say that, okay, somebody will write it, and somebody's working on it already. Right now, there are two file systems that are actually production quality to the degree that Linux vendors are intending to put them into their offerings. Obviously, it's a fairly young game, and we'll just have to see who wins the game. It's the two that are fairly usable today are the Riser FS by Hans Riser and the so-called X3 FS, which comes from the original Linux X2 group. There's also players like SGI and IBM that have their own journaling file systems that have a lot of history on their platforms but don't have a lot of history on the Linux side. So what will happen is that you'll start seeing people deploy that pretty much. I mean, people are already testing it out. People will start deploying it in big numbers this year. And that's when, I mean, when the thing hits the fan. We'll see which one is actually going to stand up after it all. It might be just issues of timing. The one that's first and usable often has a big advantage, but there might be just technical effects that make one stand out as the standard Linux file systems. And that's how standards should be. They should not be somebody writing something down and saying, this is the standard. They should be something that works, and it becomes the standard by market forces, and I believe that completely.
Thank you very much.
There.
Hi, Linus. I'm Bruce Perrins. And
hi, Bruce.
This question is not an ad for my company. I have an old laptop, and I'd like to play DVD discs on it. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say about that?
Oh. Well, I hate the DVD situation as much as anybody who knows what's going on. The DVD situation right now is that we have all the technology. We also have large companies who are acting very unfriendly so that we can't use the technology. This is a perfect case of a company who, or companies, who actually want to screw their customers over. So by what happens is that the DVD industry wants to control the market, and they want to control it not by being a good technical solution, they want to control it by just locking customers into a certain solution. So obviously Linux has been fairly well publicized as the DVD cracking thing, which was really just a case of people wanting to play DVDs on Linux. And people got sued, and nobody's in jail, but some people were taken into custody and questioned under the bright stare of the police lamps shining in their eyes, and it's not very pleasant. I think that what will happen is, I hope what will happen is that the DVD consortium will lose this lawsuit, and we'll just have DVD on Linux freely, and not just on Linux, but anywhere you want to have it. If that doesn't happen, probably a commercial company will come in and license the deal, because it's obvious that there is a need. I watch DVDs on Linux myself, but I can't give the binary out because it's legally encumbered. This is not something I or can decide on. I hope that maybe Linux companies will help, especially the Electronic Freedom Foundation, in fighting this lawsuit. It's out of the technical people's hand. Okay. Back there.
Yes. When I first heard of Linux, I thought it was, well, this is just another free BSD. But obviously, Linux has far overshadowed free BSD, and free BSD had a lot of really good people working on it. What have you guys learned from free BSD? why have you guys done so much better?
I think that the one thing you should always remember is that it's not just all about technology.